Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. This is the last book in the last chapter that Paul the Apostle wrote in the Bible. Now, we know it's God's word. We know that God gave him what to write, but I think that it's kind of important to understand what he wrote about last. Look at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak through this message to each and every person that's here. Lord, I pray that they hear your spirit, not just these words. And I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that only he might be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. I was talking with my kids and grandkids, who I've been with for almost a month now. It seems like it's only 2 weeks, but it seemed like a month. Anyway, and we were talking about death. And I don't know if you've ever in any of your family conversations get to talking about death. But I know some of you, Paul and Carol just this week faced it with their daughter, and they told me about some of the talks they had. And one of the things that Kimberly said to Carol was, and I think I got this right, Mom, how can I convince you I'm not dead? And Carol walked in here today knowing that her daughter was not dead. And we can have that kind of confidence. Well, we got to talking, and do you want to know when you're going to die? Would you like to have a month or two so that you could talk to people and prepare and get ready? Or how about going like my brother did in his sleep? Going to bed, planning on getting up in the morning and never waking up in this life. Well, I have found through the years it's easier on the family if you kind of go a couple months. The hardest death is a sudden death, a death in a car accident, a death of a heart attack, a death of, they're unexpected. You have plans for tomorrow. And yet when someone's sick, we can't wish them back into that sickness. So it's easier. But I think it's also harder on the person that's dying if they have to wait. I mean, if you had a choice, you know, get me out of here. Take me as fast as possible, you know. But we don't have that choice, and none of us know when we're going to die. But one thing we do know is that we're going to die. Mortality is 100%. We can look back at some of the people with the great names throughout history. They died. I look back everyone that was my age when I came here 30 years ago, has died. There's a man that said, a movie star that said several years ago, it's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And we think about it, and we talk about it, and even when we talk about it in our families, as long as we don't see anyone's close to it, we'll laugh about death because we don't know how to deal with it. And most people in this world, I've noticed funerals, there are fewer people that come to funerals because people don't want to face death. They don't want to deal with it. Back when I was a kid, people died in their home. Now we take them somewhere. And through many years, people died in hospitals rather than in the home. When my dad was young, they brought the bodies home in order to view them rather than a funeral home. But death has become so sterile that as soon as someone dies, they're gone. And we're living in an age where not only does the world not know how to deal with death, but many Christians don't know how to deal with it either. The last chapter of the last book that Paul wrote, he said this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." In order to understand that, you need to know what a drink offering was. After they had ate their meal, back during this time, they would take what was left in the cup and they would pour it over the fire as saying, "I give the last unto God. This is the end. This finishes it." Paul said, "I am about finished. I'm about ready to have the meal. The life is over. Everything's gone. I'm about just pour the last drops out onto God and for Him." Here's a man that knew that his life had been hard. He knew that his life had been a struggle, but he looked death in the eye and said, "I am ready." And every Christian here today needs to be ready. Every person in this world needs to be ready. And it isn't about how much you own. It isn't about how much influence you have. You need to be ready. This week I watched the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was planning on making a speech. He had 2,000 people waiting on him to make a speech, and he didn't get around the corner in Dallas. I can tell you of many sudden deaths. I had a lady come into my office about 15 years ago. She said, "I have a problem." She said, "And I don't know how to deal with it." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "I sent my secretary to do some copies out at the copy machine," and she went to the copy machine, opened it up, and died there. There was a funeral. Some of you know of Smitty's Garage here in town. His father-in-law started those garages. His father-in-law, they attended our church. And this was before I came, but his father-in-law had died, and they were having his funeral. And I believe it was Mrs. Yutzi was playing the organ. And during the organ music, the organ just went, oh, she fell over and died during the funeral. I'm telling you, there are people sitting here today, this could be the last sentence you hear. Death is certain, and we need to be ready. And the only way we can be ready is to realize that our life is in God, Christ, not in this body. Our life is in that spiritual rebirth, knowing that we know who Jesus is. Paul said, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." I looked up that Greek word, the time of my departure, and you know what it's used as? Unhitching a horse. It's used as pulling stakes on a tent. I'm ready to move on. My time of departure is here. I'm ready to go. Can you say that today? I don't care if you're 15 or you're 105. Had to put that number in there, catch everybody. But are you ready? I can say this. As Walt Kowalski said, as he was dying, he said, "Pastor, it doesn't look like I'm going to make it, does it?" And I said, "No, Walt, the doctors say without a miracle, you're going to heaven." He said, "That's all right. I died a long time ago." And I ask you that today, as you sit here, did you die a long time ago? Do you see heaven for what it is? Do you see Christ for who He is? Is it real to you? Heaven can't be real to you if the spiritual life isn't real to you today. If you can experience Christ today and walk in Him today and walk by faith today, you know that the spiritual life is real. But if you don't pray and don't read your Bible and you try to live like everybody else, you can't experience what heaven's going to be because you don't understand it yet. You've got to live in the Spirit today. And that isn't living outside of the body. That is controlling the body. Paul made this statement. As he makes two statements. He says, first of all, I look back. I fought a good fight. I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't know how to live for Christ today, you're going to have a hard time understanding what heaven is tomorrow. Paul said, I have seen Christ in my life. Let me tell you about Paul's life. Before he got saved, he was this general in the army, member of the Sanhedrin, best education you could have. He was leading armies, and he was well known, and he dressed in fair clothing. After he became a Christian, he got locked up in jail. And he lived under house arrest as he was writing these parts of the scripture. But he wasn't living in his circumstances. He was living in his heavenly being who he was. He knew that what he was accomplishing for Christ. And for 2,000 years, what he has written has been read in church after church after church all around the world. Did his life count? It sure did. And it isn't our circumstances. We say, Lord, does my life count? And our life can only count when we totally submit unto Him. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the race. Then he looks to the future, and finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. You have something to look forward to if you know your life has been dedicated to Christ. If you know that you've not lived a selfish life, tried to get your own way. You know why this church works? Because we see who Christ is more than what we see other people's flaws. We see eternity. So when somebody comes up and offends us, we can turn our cheek because the Bible says to, and not just because the Bible says to, it's our nature to turn our cheek because of the fact that we're trying to get people to go to heaven. It's our nature to work together. It's our nature to be united. It's our nature not to complain because no one's going to do things the way you do them. We already know that. And no one's going to do things the way that I would do them. You already know that. So for me to go over that week after week, day after day, with different people in the congregation isn't accomplishing anything. It only tears down our unity because that's fleshy. If you want to be in the Spirit, what you do is you put those things away and you compliment those on the things they can do. And I'll tell you something, yesterday in the great race, that was one of the best ones we've ever done. I mean, they had this thing that you had to pick up a Skittle with a straw and carry it across the gym. Now, I had never thought about doing that before in my life. But Kelly thought it up. You know? And she's an engineer. It's her sister that does the Blue Man Group. You know? Some of this stuff, you put your face with shaving cream. And then you throw cheese balls at it. And you can't eat them. They're loaded with... Well, I'm not going to tell you how I know that. Shaving cream. I mean, and then there was this puzzle. And I didn't know it when we got the puzzle, but I had a nuclear engineer on my team. He put that puzzle right together. We lost because of him, though. His name's Michael, too, Michael. Well, you know, he had this real nice truck, and we all had to buckle up, and he would drive the speed limit, and he turned the corner. He's an engineer. What can I say? Now, Scott's not an engineer. We followed him through yellow lights. I mean, What I'm telling you is when you get into the spiritual life, it's fun. It's so much fun that we overlook others' faults. Lord, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. That's unity. You can't have a church that functions without it. We can't do anything that everybody likes. Not everybody came out yesterday, but the ones that did had a ball. Not everyone stayed last week for the dinner, but the ones who did had a ball. And we're not twisting people's arms for to do everything except coming tonight for the Mills family. What I'm saying is it takes all kinds of people from all different backgrounds that love the same God so much that they work together in order to accomplish His will. Then the world can see it. The world can't say, well, they're all Germans, they're all Korean, they're all, you know. They can't say that. They can say, God brought these people together from all different backgrounds, all different ideas, all different cars in the parking lot, and they love one another. Bless Jason's heart. I mean, I've got all Chevys now, okay? But I remember I bought that Hyundai, and Jason works at, he's a union rep over at the General Motors plant. He loved me anyway. Didn't like me all the time, but he loved me. And he said, we'll work together on getting people saved. I'm just not riding in your car. No.
It wasn't because it was a Hyundai.
So anyway. What I'm saying is, when a church works, it's when we're on spiritual ground, we're walking the spiritual path, and we know that heaven is real. We know heaven is real because we know God is real today, and we know that God is working within us today, and we can see what God is doing in the church today. And when we see what God is doing in the church, we can see what God is doing in our lives, and others will want that to happen in their lives, and so forth, and it will build, and it will build, and it will build. And God said He will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Paul said this, finally, my brethren, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. He didn't have any doubt because he knew who God was where he was living today. Now you say, well, preacher, that's okay for a missionary or a minister or somebody like that. That, you know, they would understand and they'd be able to look death in the eye and know that heaven's real. But, you know, I'm just a normal person. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a normal person, too, and Paul speaks to that. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Not to me only, but to every one of you. Life's tough. About 18 years ago, my brother at 54 years old had a heart attack in his sleep and died. I got a phone call from my niece, his daughter, and said, you got to tell. I talked to Jim and Carol, my brother and sister, and they said, you got to go tell mom and dad. So I had to go tell my dad and my mother that their oldest son, my brother, had died. I don't know of a harder thing that I've ever done in my life. And I remember the grandpa that raised me. I lived across the street from him. I was with him every day. He taught me how to paint. That's why I don't know how to paint. He used a broom, Michael. He died on my birthday. 40-some years ago. I never thought my granddad would die. I have buried family member after family member in this church. Some of you have went through some of the hardest things anyone could go through. But I don't know anything any harder than bearing a child, Paul and Carol. And the only way that you can walk away from that body is to know that Jesus Christ is real and heaven is real. And you know that because you've experienced it today. And I'll tell you something. You're not alone. How many of you here have lost a child? Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. When they heard of your daughter, they thought of their child. Death should bring us closer to Christ and who He is. But we should be able to look death in the eye, say it's not the end. And I can tell those of you who put your hands up, your child is not dead. How do I know? Because I'm alive in Christ today, and that life will never end. I have been with people every year for 40 years when they were dying. And I can tell you something. God knows. And there's a difference from when they're in the room from when they leave the room. John Siegel, your wife was one of the... is beautiful. Kids, understand this. This life is not the end. You got to be accountable for what you do here. For the things that you think you get away with, you can sneak. My dad told me something that kept me out of trouble. He said, he sang a little song, "There's an eye watching you. There's one that sees all that you do. There's a Father up above looking down with peace and love. It's an all-seeing eye watching you. When you go to take that drink, did you ever stop to think there's an eye watching you? When you sneak out with that beau or that boy, there's an eye watching you. When the offering plate does pass and God's dollar you hold fast, there's an eye watching you." Then I got ready. I got my driver's license. I got ready to go on a date. And Dad said, "You know that dome light? Let that remind you, there's an eye watching you." You know, when we know we're being watched by God who loves us and wants the best for us and the best of the best in life for us, we live better. Because we live the spiritual life, knowing we're always accountable to Him because He is always around us. Let us stand. I want to tell you a story about a golfer that some of you follow golf, some of you don't. But his name was Azinger. In 1987, he was named PGA Player of the Year. 6 years later, he won the PGA Championship. At the age of 33, he had won 10 tournament victories to his credit. The very next year, 1988, he was diagnosed with cancer. He wrote this in his book, "A feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me. I'm going to die anyway. Whether from cancer or something else, it's just a question of when." Well, he did get better. And he said that Larry Moody, the chaplain at the Pro Golfers, had said to him, "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying, going to the land of the living." Azinger wrote, "I've made a lot of money since I've been on the tour. I've won lots of tournaments, but the happiness is always temporary. The only way I have ever found true contentment in my personal is in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've found the answer to the 6-foot hole." You can walk above the cemetery. You can walk above it when you walk out of it and you've laid one of your children to rest, or your husband, or your wife, or your parent. You can walk above the cemetery if you're walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what makes a church, and I thank you that we see it all around this church. We know what we must do, and we know what we are here to accomplish. We're willing not to take things personal. We're willing to allow those to do things differently. We're willing to allow those to grow in the spiritual realm. We have patience. We're kind. We're considerate. Because we have faith in you. For that I give you thanks. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.